This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott, and April is National Poetry Month. But let's face it, there are a lot of people out there who just are not interested in reading or listening or talking about poetry. Otherwise, average readers who are, for whatever reason, simply averse to verse. Well, we're going to see if we can change that. Victoria Chang is a poet, most recently of a collection called The Boss. She recently compiled for Huffington Post a list called 13 Poetry Collections for People Who Think They Don't Like Poetry. Victoria, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Why do you think it is that poetry repels so many readers, many of whom probably haven't even given it a chance?
You know, I think it really starts in high school. And I think that, a lot of English teachers in high school, they're approaching it from a very academic standpoint. And I think that that sort of initially turns, kids off, and then they never return to it. And then a lot of the verse being published today, I think, is so much entrenched in academia, it's almost like poets are writing poems just for each other and writing books just for each other. And it really alienates, I think, the rest of the world. And then it's just hard to return to that entry point now with so many different media outlets and other things that, kids can go back to, like video games or the internet. And it's hard to, come back at it.
So you've compiled this list for those to dip their toe back in. First mm-hmm. poet on your list, Billy Collins, who you say is probably the best introduction to poetry for people who don't like poetry. Why so?
Well, it's just so accessible. And I think, you often hear this when you talk to people who don't read poetry or aren't interested in it. They always say that it's just too hard. I think Billy Collins is that, I call him the king of approachable and accessible poetry, because he writes in a way that just, it almost feels like you're reading a newspaper or something, but that, really easy. You don't have to, your mind doesn't get stuck a lot. You just kind of flows and your eye just moves as if you're reading fiction or an easy newspaper article. But he writes about things that are a little bit deeper. And I think that that makes him a great place to start. And, he's known for that, being sort of that accessible yet actually well-respected poet, even amongst, academic poets.
Here is Billy Collins reading The Best Cigarette from his collection Sailing Alone Around the Room.
The Best Cigarette. There are many that I miss, having sent my last one out a car window, sparking along the road one night years ago. The heralded ones, of course, after sex, the two glowing tips now the lights of a single ship, at the end of a long dinner with more wine to come and a smoke ring coasting into the chandelier, or on a white beach holding one with fingers still wet from a swim. How bittersweet these punctuations of flame and gesture. But the best were on those mornings when I would have a little something going in the typewriter.
Billy Collins reading the poem The Best Cigarette. That's from his collection Sailing Alone Around the Room. Victoria Chang, how do you suggest readers take in a collection of poetry? Maybe just try one or two at a time, or do you read it like you might a novel?
Well, gosh, I think you can read it any way you want. Some people start from the beginning to the end. I used to do that, and because I used to think that, well, that's how the poet wanted you to read them, this collection of poems. And then I heard some other poets, just like Robert Haas is the poet in California, and he just tosses his poems up into the air and they land where they land. And so now when I read a book of poems, I don't even read the whole thing, and books can sit on my desk for years, and I'll just take one poem and just read it once in a while. Oh, I'll just read one poem before I go to bed, or maybe I'll read this other poem a year later. It to me now, it's kind of just whatever you feel like, however you feel. And I think the internet and the advent of all this new technology has sort of changed how we receive books, even especially books like poetry that don't necessarily need to be read like a straight narrative.
There are some collections here that are newer collections, some older collections. Lucille Clifton, Louise Glick is on the list, Frederick Seidel, a New York poet, very interesting one. Another poet on your list is Sharon Olds, who lives at least part-time here in New Hampshire, and I spoke to her last year about her collection Stag's Leap. She read the poem for which the book is named. Here is an excerpt.
I feel like his victim, and he seems my victim. I worry that the outstretched legs on the heart are bent the wrong way as he throws himself off. Oh, my mate. I was vain of his faithfulness, as if it was a compliment rather than a state of partial sleep. And when I wrote about him, did he feel he had to walk around carrying my books on his head like a stack of posture volumes or the rack of horns hung where a hunter washes the venison down with the Sauvignon?
Sharon Olds reading from her poem Stag's Leap. That's from a collection of the same name. That collection largely about her divorce, extremely personal. You have another suggestion for someone who would be new to poetry to get to know Sharon Olds. What's your suggestion?
It's a book called Gold Cell. I think a lot of practicing poets often refer to Gold Cell as one of their favorite Sharon Olds books. And for me, it was one of the first poetry books that I bought. And it still sits, you know, in my bookshelf, and it was so precious to me that I actually wrapped it in contact paper. And so, yeah, it was just so, it was such a riveting entry into the poetry world because, like Stag's Leap, you're reading it, and it's almost, wow, that's just amazing that she can feel so comfortable writing about such personal things yet not turn the reader off. And you sort of feel that universality, even though she's so incredibly personal and honest. It's quite searing, actually.
Victoria Chang is with us. She's a poet who's written an article about some poetry books and collections for people who don't think that they really like poetry. Also on your list is The Half-Finished Heaven by Nobel Prize winner Thomas Tranströmer. I hope I'm saying that properly. Tell us a little bit about his work and what makes that worth reading for the poetry skeptic.
Well, Tranströmer's just this lovely poet that a lot of Americans have translated, and he just has this incredibly macro perspective of what sort of why we're here and these greater kind of existential questions that I always find so interesting. Towards the end, I feel like he ends his poem so beautifully. I think in one poem he describes a newspaper like a dirty butterfly. And I always remember that image. I was thinking, who thinks of a newspaper as a dirty butterfly? And, you know, he does that again and again in all of his poems, but especially in that collection I really enjoy.
Well, you talked about tackling big existential questions, which may be precisely why people don't engage in poetry. It's frightening for them. And
right.
Humor may be one of the best ways of winning over the poetry skeptic. And you suggest a collection that's pretty funny, although often quite shocking. It's called Letters to Wendy's. Can you tell us a little bit about this collection?
Oh, right. Yeah, Letters to Wendy's is written by a poet named Joe Wenderos, who published this book a while ago. But when it came onto the scene and the world, actually, it does border on pornographic, but it's so brilliant because he uses the metaphor of Wendy's, the fast food restaurant, which we've all been to, you know, with the Biggies and the Frosties and that red-headed Wendy's that stares at you with this blue and white striped dress. I mean, think of how rich or a minefield potentially all of these images could be in this collection of poems that he supposedly had written over a year on comment cards, you know, sitting at the fast food chain. And they're all these kind of prose poems, you know, just kind of loose little blocks of language. And it just, you can read those and you'll just be laughing out loud.
Well, we found a couple of the most innocent selections in the book and had our producer, Zach Nugent, read a couple entries. Here he is.
January 3rd, 1997. I've been sort of hesitant to mention this, but I believe one of your employees, you must know the one I speak of, is a beaver. It's impossible to look into her face, to hear the sounds she makes, and to see the way she moves, the way she carries bits of wood, and not feel that this is a beaver. I've not mentioned this before because, obviously, beavers are powerful creatures.
Producer Zach Nugent there reading from Letters to Wendy's. So these are all collections that you would recommend for the poetry novice. Any that you would suggest they avoid?
you know, I tend to avoid personally anything that feels too overly sentimental, too cliched. And, you know, I think for me, you know, a lot of poetry professors and teachers are always saying, read, you know, old collections, you know, things from a long, long time ago. And honestly, I've never loved really old poetry. And I know people recommend Emily Dickinson and all this kind of stuff, but I've never loved that kind of poetry. I like things that are more current, you know, maybe the last 20 or 30 years max. And especially for people who don't read poetry regularly, I would say, you know, you can just read current stuff and it'll be more applicable to your daily life.
Victoria Chang, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Victoria Chang is a poet, and her most recent book called The Boss was published by McSweeney's last year. You'll find a link to read her full list of poetry collections for people who do not like poetry. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. April is National Poetry Month, and all this week we've been presenting recitations from some of New Hampshire's bright young high school students. All of them were finalists in the Poetry Out Loud competition held at the State House last month. It is, by far, one of my favorite annual events, watching those young people pour their passions and their theatricality into poems in front of a crowd at the New Hampshire State House's Representatives Hall. Here is our last featured poet, Amber Mercedes.
Amber Mercedes, sophomore, Coe Brown. The Strength of the Fields by James L. Dickey. A separation from the world, a penetration to some source of power, and a life-enhancing return. Van Genep, Rites to Passage. Moth Force, a small town always has, given the night. What field forms can be outlying the small civic-like decisions over a man walking near home? Men are not where he is exactly now, but they are around him like the strength of fields. The solar system floats on above him in town moths. Tell me, train sound. With all your long lost grief, what can I give? Dear Lord of all the fields, what am I going to do? Streetlights, blue force, and frail, as the homes of men, tell me how to do it. How to withdraw, how to penetrate and find the source of the power you always had light. As a moth and rising with the level and moonlit expansion of the fields around and the sleep of hoping men. You, I, what difference is there when we can both be saved by a secret blooming? Now as I walk the night and you walk with me, we know simplicity is close to the source that sleeping men search for in their home deep beds. We know that the sun is away. We know that the sun can be conquered by moths and blue hometown air. The star splinter, pointed and wild, the dead lie under the pastures, they look on and help. Tell me, freight train, tell me in a voice the sea would have if it had not a better one, as it lifts hundreds of miles away, its fumbling, deep-structured roar like the profound, unstoppable craving of nations for their wish, hunger, time, and the moon. The moon lying on the brain, as on the excited sea, as on the strength of fields. Lord, let me shake with purpose. Wild hope can always spring from tended strength. Everything is in that. That and nothing but kindness. More kindness, dear Lord, of the renewing green. That is where it all has to start, with the simplest things. More kindness will do nothing less than save every sleeping one and every night walking one of us. My life belongs to the world. I will do what I can.
Amber Mercedes there, a 10th grader at Co. Brown Northwood Academy. You can see photographs of all of our guest readers and watch a video from the Poetry Out Loud competition at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And we would like you to help us celebrate National Poetry Month, but do not have to recite anything from memory or write in quatrains. Instead, we invite you to create a public radio-inspired haiku. Here's one example. I can't spell your name, but I know your voice so well. Oh, great Kai Ristall. You can share your haikus on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio, or on Twitter, @wordofmouth. We are so glad you could join us today. I'm Virginia Prescott. On behalf of all of us here, have a happy Easter weekend. We will be back with more Word of Mouth on Monday at 2, right here on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
Zach Nugent,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcast and listen to past shows,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
Follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
And check out a playlist of music from the program on Spotify.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.